Hi, and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgement Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
Church, it is such a privilege to even be asked to speak here tonight. So thank you so much. And happy Mother's Day to all the mums. I couldn't go past without saying that my beautiful mum is here tonight and I love you. I'm going to cry. Worship was so good tonight, church. Like, I still feel shook. Is that what the cool kids say? It was amazing. So thank you, team. And church, I don't know all of you. I know some of you, but I thought I'd let you know that I grew up in the church. My incredible parents raised me and my two brothers here in this very church. And I'm so grateful that they would dare to do that, because this church and you and everybody sitting here has always pointed me to Jesus through every twist and turn of life. And I'm so grateful, and I'm sorry that I'm so emotional. Thank you. And you know, church, that gratefulness, you know, it springs up this this love within me for this church. And you know, with all my heart, I am committed to building the house of God, because there is no greater thing to do on earth. Amen? Awesome. Well, when I was a little girl, I was absolutely infatuated with horses. They were the best thing in the whole world. Every birthday, every Christmas, probably even every Easter, I would ask my mum and dad to buy me a horse. That was at the top of my list. I didn't want anything else. I just wanted a horse. And after a little while, I think my parents kind of cottoned on to the fact that this wasn't just a phase that I was going through as a little girl. I actually really wanted to be a horse rider. And so they decided that they'll get me horse riding lessons, which was like the best day of my life. they got me horse riding lessons, and at first they were monthly lessons, and they turned into fortnightly and then weekly lessons. And I had the best time. I found the most incredible riding school, and I could just go there. They would get up really, really early and drop me off there on a Saturday, and I would just stay there all day and ride and brush horses and do whatever I wanted to do. It was like a little girl's dream. I felt like I was in the saddle club. And you know, like lessons, like horse riding lessons, they're pretty expensive, not going to lie. And so my parents, they put in a lot of effort. But after a little while, we had to cut it back to fortnightly lessons, which is fine because they were so expensive. But that's awesome. I still got to do fortnightly lessons. And I figured out that on the weeks that I didn't have a lesson, I could still actually go to the riding school. And if I paid $15, I could go and do whatever they wanted me to do there. So I'm literally talking, church, I would pay them so that I could work for them. And again, brush the horses and clean yards and get sweaty and gross and then go home and stink out the house because I was so sweaty. And fast forward a few years. So this happened for years and years and years. And fast forward a little while, I met Jane Beaumont, whom some of you know. She used to come to this church, and she became my horse riding coach. And she took me under her wing, and she taught me everything she knew, let me go to her house pretty much every afternoon after school and ride her horses and have a great time. And possibly, church, the crescendo of this story is that on the 15th of February, 2011, I got my first horse. Amazing. It was so good. Her name was Indy, which is actually the name of my cat right now, which is pretty funny. But she was beautiful, and she was a dream come true. I got my first horse. But you know what's a little funny, church, is that after all that time and all that effort, all that love and commitment, all that sweat and all that money that my parents and I put in to me being able to horse ride, something just started feeling not quite right. And I couldn't put my finger on it at first, but I knew that something just started to feel a little off. And after a little while, I figured it out, church, and it was that my heart wasn't in it anymore. And I still loved horse riding, and I still got a lot of joy out of it, but for some reason, my heart wasn't in it anymore. And after a little while, it took me so long because I didn't quite understand why, you know, I would put in all this effort and all this love and think that it was some dream, you know, to then just start feeling a little off about it. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I realized that the reason my heart wasn't in it anymore was because I was doing it for myself. I wasn't riding to meet people and to tell people about Jesus and to bring my friends to church. I was just riding for me because I loved it, but that was it. And church, I've come to the realization that as we get closer to Jesus, as we are in a relationship with Jesus, he will always draw us away from things that aren't about people and draw us to things that are about people because that is his heart. That is the heart of Jesus. It says in my Bible that Jesus came so that none would perish, but that all would have eternal life, right? And as we get closer to Jesus, he has shown me more and more that this life is not about me, but it is about him and it is about pointing people towards him. Amen. And what better way to do that? I can't think of a single better way to point people to Jesus than by being in church and by building the church. Yeah. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 3, King David, he says the most beautiful words, and it's about him building the temple, exactly what Nick was talking about. And he says this. King David says that with all my heart, I want to build the temple of my God, so I'm giving my personal treasures of gold and silver for it. With all my heart. And church, the question that I would ask you is, where is your heart? What is Jesus really calling you to? What is he calling you to pursue with all your heart? I believe that foremost, he is calling you to himself because he is so good and he deserves all the glory. And then from that, from running to him, then flows a heart for people, a heart to build the church and see people saved and set free to live their best life. And it is my prayer tonight that we would be a church full of people who can boldly stand up and say that we know Jesus and his heart is that the church would be built. So our heart, despite things that might try to pull us away, our heart would be to build the church, to build the house of God. Amen. Amen. Thanks, church. Well, I now get the privilege of passing over to a man who consistently beats me in workouts, Joel Keats, everybody.
Thank you, Holly. That was awesome. A little bit of a backstory. Me and my wife go and do workouts with Holly. Or should I say, my wife and Holly do workouts and I go every fortnight. So tonight we're talking about building God's house together. And I really wanted to talk about building on the rock. And so if you got your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 6, verse 47 and 49, or 47 to 49. And Jesus says, "Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream broke out against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built, founded upon the rock. But the one who hears Christ's words and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, it immediately fell. And the ruin of that house was great." So Jesus in this passage is teaching us first to come to him. to turn from our old ways, our old life sources, our old purposes, and to turn to Him, to hear His words and to do them. We're in church. We're in Connect Group weekly. We spend time in devotion daily with Him and in His presence. And then we listen to these things. We listen to these words that God says and we do them. We actually do them. That person is like a person building a house on a rock. It says that the person first dug deep. They sought truth. They dug through dirt to lay the foundation on the rock. This person knows that they must dig through the dirt to lay that foundation on the rock. But conversely, in verse 49, it says, which is really interesting, but the one who hears Christ's words and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation, which isn't good. I'm not a builder, but I know that building a house on no foundation is not good. And it's not good to build a life on no foundation. So those who come to the rock lay their foundation on the rock, the solid ground. So what is the rock? And in Matthew 16, verse 37 to 17, it goes on to say, now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said to him, well, you're a prophet. Some people say you're a prophet or Elijah or Jeremiah. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, when I was 18, I came to this church. My mate, Mick Schaff, a lot of you might know him, brought me to this church, kicking and screaming, pretty much. He just kept asking me to come to church. And I came four times. And on the fourth time, I gave my heart to Christ. You know, I was digging through a lot of dirt, a lot of stuff. And I couldn't find a rock to build my life on. But coming here, I found a rock. It's interesting, Jesus firstly says, who do people say I am? The disciples answered him and said, well, you're a good man, you're a prophet. And before I came here, that's pretty much what I thought of Christ. I thought he was a good man. But Jesus then asks, who do you say I am? You follow me, you hear me, you listen to my teaching. And Peter replies, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know, there is a choice that everyone must make, every person. Is Jesus just a good teacher? Does he just teach good moral principles? Or is he the Christ? Is he the Son of the living God? Is he God? Come for us, shed his blood for us, so that we might come into a relationship with him. You know, the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, is in fact the rock that he's talking about here in this first passage in Luke. It is where we build, or he builds our life from. And even more than that, God builds his house using our lives. And Jesus says, on this rock, he will build this church. Build this church. Build his church. In 1 Peter 2, verse 4 to 6, he says, as you come to him, Jesus, a living stone, rejected by man, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, Zion being spiritual Jerusalem, a cornerstone chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. You know, the Bible narrative basically is teaching us that from Adam, when he chose the fruit over God, our purpose was violated. Sin came in. And there was no way man could work to get back. So Jesus came. God did what man can't. God did what we can't. God did what I can't and what you can't do. And that's work your way to God, to dig through all the dirt and try and find a rock. Without finding Christ, it's not going to happen. And you know, from that time, our image as God's sons and daughters was destroyed. But in Christ, he's restored our image as his sons and daughters. More than that, even in us here tonight, who are his church, if you picture it as many houses being built on the rock of Jesus Christ, we're living stones in his house, being built on the cornerstone of Christ. It's this beautiful imagery of how the church works and Praise God for that. So I urge you to seek him tonight and you will find him. Dig through the dirt and find the rock. Dig through the lies to find the truth. And as you come to him, God's promise is that whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. And I just wanted to pray for everyone tonight. So if we could just pray. Heavenly Father, reveal your truth to us through your Son, Lord Jesus. Build us together as living stones upon and into the cornerstone of Jesus as he builds his house, his church. Thank you that you build true life on the rock of Christ. And we love you so much, Lord Jesus. And thank you for everything. Amen. Thank you so much, church. Bless you. We have an awesome young preacher, Laura Armstrong, coming up now. If you've got any Red Frog questions, she's the lady to talk to.
Thanks, Joel. Hey, church. I don't know about you, but I'm feeling pretty stirred already tonight. Hey. And I want to keep the momentum going, so I'm going to get straight into it. And I want to start tonight by being transparent with you. Because when I first heard that the topic we would be speaking on tonight was building the house of God, my first reaction was, ah, because I don't know if there's a more challenging topic to get our generation passionate about, our self-focused generation passionate about, at least on the surface of the topic. And I know for myself, in my first few years of being a Christian, I was more than happy to come to church and hear messages about how much God loves me and how he has a plan for me. But if a preacher was trying to get me caught in, and so we have a responsibility, you kind of do the like backwards walks, like make like the Avengers and fade away kind of thing. Too soon, no. I was waiting all week to do that. You see, our world conditions us to see anything that serves ourselves as opportunity and anything that serves other people as an obligation. And we need to be really careful of this as Christians, because if God's plan for us is to build his house by serving others, we need to make sure that we're not attempting to carry this mindset of obligation beyond the cross of Jesus. Because God's plan, ultimate plan and design for his house is not one of obligation, it's one of overflow. And so tonight I've titled my message, Moving from Obligation into Overflow. And this comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 to 8. And it says, each one of us must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound in you. So having all sufficiency in all things at all times, like how amazing is that already? You may abound in every good work. I love this scripture because it also shows us that our God is too good for us to be living lives of religious duty. And that amazes me because God, in all of his greatness and everything he's done for us, has every right to just demand obligation and obedience from us. But he doesn't. God actually says, yes, I want my people to give and to do good deeds. But if what you're offering is obligation, then something needs to change. Because I love you too much to accept empty words and actions. And here's where the challenge sets in, for me at least, with this verse. Because God is actually calling us. He's asking us to feel joy in sacrifice. And for so long, that challenged me. For so long, when I came to this church and I heard people speak on this message and talk about giving cheerfully, it frustrated me. Because I was like, what do you have that I don't? Why is it cheerful for you, but I'm feeling like I'm forcing myself to give? I'm feeling like it's like blood from a stone to try and give. And one night I was lying in my bed and I was just dwelling on this, and it got me to this point of absolute frustration. And I just turned to God and I was like, what the heck? Like, why am I still feeling this reluctance in giving? God, I want to give, but there's this reluctance in me. What is it? Your word says that there's a place that I can be in where giving is a cheerful thing. So what am I missing? And it was in that moment that I felt the Holy Spirit respond to me with a question that came into my mind. And the question was, do you really believe that Jesus is everything you need? Do you really believe that Jesus is everything you need? And it took me a moment, but then it clicked. And I realized that I'd been trying to force myself to build God's house because I wanted the world to know what Jesus had done for them, but I wasn't even living in the fullness of what Jesus had done for me in the first place. Because the Bible says that Jesus didn't just come to provide salvation for us. It actually says that God intends to meet our every need. And so the call to build God's house, it involves an outpouring of our time and our talent and our money, because it's set in the revelation that we actually don't even need our own resources because we have an ultimate source in God. Building God's house is God saying to us, I've got you covered, now I want you to go and get them. I've got you covered, so I want to use what you've got to go and tell the world that I love them too. I want them too. I'm chasing them too. I want them to see that I'm good. I want them to see that I'm here, and I'm going to use you and what you have and what I've given you to show them that. Building God's house, when we come together, it's realizing that as a church, we're the building blocks for the presence of God in our community. We're building blocks for the presence of God in our community. And so tonight I wanted to leave us with a final thought of encouragement on how to step out of obligation into overflow. And that's encouragement in the revelation that God calls us to build his house together, not because he wants us to take us away from the opportunity to live big lives for ourselves, but because he actually wants us to live lives so big that the world experiences God through us. And I don't know about you, but that sounds like the greatest legacy we could ever leave with our lives.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.